chapter number 19 of the book of Psalms. And we get done reading and doing this, I hope it becomes something that's very, very lovely in your own heart. Notice how it begins. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warmed, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, O God, that we have the privilege to pick up this, your word. Thank you, O God, that you not only gave it, but you have allowed it to be preserved down through the years, to be placed in our hands. Lord, you have said, great is the company of those that publish your word. And Lord, how we thank you for those who have been willing through the years to do exactly that. We thank you tonight for the privilege to be able to open its pages. Bless now, we pray. You've said that there is power in preaching. And so, Lord, tonight in power, do a work in our lives. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The Psalms are a collection of songs that God has given us. And they ought to remind us of the importance of music in honoring the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, he says, after he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he says, speaking to yourselves. In other words, that's a part of what takes place with the filling of the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music, what a blessedness it is to be able to sing the glories of God. As I sit in this chair and I sing the songs and sometimes look out over the congregation, it's always delightful to see those folks who are singing, and you can tell there's joy in their hearts as they sing it. Sometimes you see a little bit of movement with them, and they're not dancing. It's a part of them. There is some beat that goes with music by all means, and some they just got rapture all over their face, and then you look and you see some who are bored to death. And they just stand there, and it's like, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And I sometimes wonder, how in the world can you know God and love God and be like that? That is a mystery to me. I do know this, that when he says to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and that's not a part of you, I know what isn't a part of you, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You may have his indwelling, but you've not experienced something that is far more marvelous than even that. And that is to realize that God can fill us and use us and do mighty things in our hearts, in our lives, and through us. As with all songs, this one teaches us something. This particular psalm, this song, I believe, teaches us that there are two great books. And these two great books are dedicated to revealing God to us. The first book I'm going to call the picture book. The second book I'm going to call the published book. Verses 1 through 6, we look here and we notice the picture book. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." All the sights and the sounds of this world of ours. The greatness of our God as we look round about us and all that He has made, as He has autographed His creation for us. As we look and we find that there's not two things that are made alike, God who makes everything just a little bit different in His design, to help us to realize that we're not being cloned, we're being created. We're not just happening. We come from an almighty God who is very diverse, and yet He loves each and every one of us. And so we look here, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament His handiwork. And I think of all these made, and I don't know about you, I like studying some of the things that are out there. I like to study about animals and learn things about them. Just last night I was looking in a little magazine I received from the Answers in Genesis people, and talking about, it's a kid's section in the middle of it, and it's talking about beetles. I didn't realize this, but do you know that nearly one-fourth of the entire world's population of animals, if you please, of all the species out there, nearly a fourth of them are beetles. That gets you excited, I'm sure. While many of you are trying to kill them, and Austin makes a living at it, we find that God has made all these different kinds of insects out there, many of them for tremendous purpose. I doubt if when you walk out at night and you see a lightning bug, you think of that lightning bug as a beetle, but really it's in the classification of a beetle. As they're flying around and certain chemicals are being mixed together, and you can see the light as their wings open up and so forth. How marvelous is our God to make all of these things, to reveal Himself to us. And so I look at this verse and I see something marvelous. This is a verse that tells us every individual in the world, they can what hear the voice of God. They can see what He has written for them if they just open their eyes. Verse number 2, He says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." This book that I call the picture book is not only the history of the past, but it also news journal of that which is taking place right now. Day unto day uttereth His speech. Every day we can see just a little bit more, and we can understand a little bit more about our marvelous God. You young people, when you pick up your science page, quit looking at it as something that is a horrible thing that you got to get through and pass a test so you get a grade on your report card so that mom and dad will get off your neck and you can have summer vacation. Look at it as something you're studying the very creation of an almighty God. You're getting the privilege to look into something that God has made, whether it be a rock or whether it be an animal, whether it be talking about something active like a volcano or the waves of the ocean as they come in. My, what a marvelous book He has given us. Verse 3, He goes a little bit farther and He says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." This book that I call the picture book tonight, it does not need an interpreter. I've had the privilege to speak to people in another language, and I'll tell you what, it's very difficult to speak to them. I remember the first time that took place down in Mexico, and Steve Ziner was interpreting my message, and I would say a few things, and he would say a little bit while I was waiting. And Jenny, if you think you had a problem, I could remember what I was saying after I got halfway through the sentence. I was waiting for him to get the rest of it done that night. But we don't need an interpreter for this. Because everything we look at, as we go about it, everybody can read the same thing. It's all one language. It's all one voice. His publication reaches into every neighborhood in the entire world. It says their line has gone out, verse 4, through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And He's telling us here, hey, listen, it goes everywhere. And He says within all of this, He says there's something that allows this to, there's something that's the pinnacle of it all. And that is to this old world is the sun. By the way, when we think about the sun, not only spell it S-U-N, but spell it S-O-N, and you'll get the real gist of what He's trying to tell us here. And so it's committed into the hands of one that is much greater than all of us, as we find here this son, S-U-N, which as a bridegroom, He says, coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Do you realize it's the sun as it shines and brings the light to this old world that we can look at and see the marvelous creation that God has given us? and how marvelous it really is. But not only just the picture book, but I love this part in verse number 7, right on down to the end of the chapter. I call it the published book. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." We find the Word of God in the next few verses takes on 6 different titles. And within these 6 titles, I believe we also find 6 different conclusions as God is trying to teach us something marvelous about this book we call the Bible. First of all, He calls it His law. His law. And it says that it will produce something marvelous. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, we know from the Word of God, it's the law of God that shows us our sin. And as we see our sin, we can see a Savior. As we see the Savior, we call upon Him, and He saves our hell, our soul from a sinful hell. Thank God for that. And so the law of God can produce salvation in our lives. But then we see something a little bit farther. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And notice what we notice there, making wise the simple. The testimonies. This divine author, our God, can produce for you and I understanding. You see, it's not just the facts that come into our mind. We need to be able to understand those facts, that we might make use of it. And He tells us that He gives us that kind of understanding from His Word. You know, we can look at this old world, this picture book that we have, and not really understand what's going on. And so you and I, we need some more instruction. We need more than the picture book. We need the published Word of God. And it produces salvation. It produces understanding. Notice in verse number 8, He says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." The statutes. Somebody's called those the governor's governing. Those statutes, those limitations that are placed upon us, they are to bring us joy. Now you tell a child, you can't do this and you can't do the other thing, you can't do this and that, and they think, my goodness, you're holding me in. You're not allowing me to have the freedom that I so desperately need. But do you understand tonight that we need restrictions? We need boundaries. I don't know about you, but I kind of like this fence that's out on the other side of the road over here. That thing's 6 foot high, but there's been a few times since I've lived over here that there have been cars who have come off that freeway and they've come into that fence. And they have not come through the fence. You might not know this, but most of these fences can take a semi doing 100 miles an hour. And they have, it's a tremendous the way that chain link fence is built to withstand some things. I'm glad for that boundary there to hold out that which seeks to harm me. But not only does it hold out that which seeks to harm me, I was also very glad as I was raising my children, as they would play in the yard here and sometimes actually go across the road for something, that there was that fence there that was going to keep them from playing in the middle of the freeway. You see, we need boundaries in our lives. Amen. The statutes of our God can bring us joy. Why? Because it's protecting us from the dangers that are out there. But notice also in verse number 8, He says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The commandments of the Lord, His divine orders, they what? They open our eyes to the possibilities that are out there. When God says, hey, go do this, God has given to us some possibilities to undertake. When God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that seems astronomical, but God has so provided a way that you and I can actually accomplish that. And how marvelous that is. And we can see Him doing marvelous, wonderful things. It's pure, it enlightens the eyes. Verse number 9, this might not seem as a part of the Word of God, but when you put it in all the context, we have to take it that way. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And so when I think of the fear of the Lord in this particular context, I'm thinking of it as a manual for worship. And that manual for worship, that which we look at and we have that awesomeness of God within our hearts and our lives and we think of Him, listen, it does something for us. It gives us that endurance to take us onward and onward and onward. You know, there's a lot of hard things in life, is there not? There's a lot of times when we like to stop, when we like to quit, and there are obstacles that come into life that many times we just want to lay down and just hope it all goes away. But God says, no, I want you to keep on going. You say, well, how do I know when He wants you to quit and keep on going? You'll know because you're put in a box. That's when it happens. Until then, we have a responsibility and a marvelous thing to accomplish for Him. It might not be the same as it used to be, but God wants us to endure and to keep on keeping on. And then He talks about the judgments in this verse. He says, the judgments. I'm getting the wrong verses. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. His judicial decisions, what do they bring about? They bring about, they produce a thing called truth. How I thank God for those. This book ought to be desired more than anything else. More to be desired, he says in verse 10, are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know what he's saying? He got done in verses 1 through 6 talking about all this world and all the wonderful things are out there. Now he refers back to just a few of those things, and he says, this book, this Bible, is better than all of that. Do we realize what we have when we carry this thing called the Bible? This which has the book from Genesis to Revelation, do we understand what God has really given to us here, that we can hold in our hands, we can put into our minds and allow God to do marvelous things? And all the things that are out there in this world and all the things we can study and look at in what some people call nature, I like to call creation, we have this marvelous Word, the Word of God. This book, this marvelous book brings us guidance. Notice verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. And so you and I, we have the guidance of God. That's His guaranteed promise to us as He takes us through different things in our lives. This book we call the Bible. I look at this psalm and it just amazes me as I think about this glorious book that I call the picture book, and at the same time we got something far greater, this published book, this book we call the Bible, this which has the very words of God. They're written down for us, preserved for us, given to us throughout the centuries that we can pick up, and it is as vital today as it ever was. Gives us direction and meaning and hope and understanding how we ought to thank God for the privilege of the Word of God. And I say these things tonight because God's people so often leave the Word of God on the shelf. How pathetic that is. How pathetic it is that we put it on our car dash and we come to church and we pick it up and we carry it proudly in the church, and the preacher gets up and we read the scripture with him and we go back to our car and we stick it on the dashboard, and there it stays until we come back to church the next time. Yea, how pathetic it is when perhaps the only copy we have we bring to church and we set it on the chair beside us, we get up and we leave and we forget it, and somewhere in the next week, we all of a sudden remember, oh, I forgot my Bible at church. You know, it ought to have been forgotten. It ought to have been remembered the very next morning when you got up to read it and found that it was not there. Marvelous book you and I have here. If it's read, listen, I believe in the next three verses, it gives to us a threefold response of what it will do for us. Notice verse number 12. Verse number 12. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. One of the things I find from the Word of God that it gives us an awful recognition of our own sinfulness. Perhaps that's why we don't like to read it sometimes. So much so that a cry is made for the sins that we're unaware of, he says here. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Because the writer has discovered that it's not just his sinfulness, but it's his very nature towards sin. And he's asking God to help him even with those things he doesn't really realize he has. If this book, if it's read, it's going to bring about something. That is a recognition of who we really are. It'll take away the pride in our lives. It'll help us understand that we're not nearly what we think we are. He says in verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I believe that you and I get in the Word of God, there's going to be an overwhelming awareness of our arrogancy in this matter of sin. We are so sinful that we don't care what God thinks about things so often. And basically, we want to stick it in his face, so to speak. How we ought to be thankful for this tremendous book. And as we look at this book and we're thankful for this book, it brings me really to a last verse here. And that last verse is an arousal of our praise unto Him. When you and I get rid of the low idea of Him, because we've come to the book of God, we've looked not only at the pictures that God has throughout the world, but we find the things that He has said to us. When you and I notice who we are, notice who God is, then is stirred within us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable when I sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. He said, I want that acceptable to God. What's He done? He's looked at the marvelous book out there, that book that just shows God everywhere we look. Look up in the sky and you see the clouds as they come over. You think of the several gallons and gallons and gallons of water that are contained up there. That which can come down and basically flood the earth for a period of time, that's floating in the sky, and God made that. To feel the wind at our face and realize the moving of the Holy Spirit upon the face of the waters. And think of God as He blows forth across this world of ours and keeps everything in action and motion. Wow. As we see the sun come up in the morning, oh, I realize the earth turns and the sun is supposedly still in the same spot, but still we look at it as it comes up and goes across the sky throughout the day and lights up all that is out there and reveals the marvelous treasures of God. And yet we can take that same light and we can read the marvelous Word of God and the things that He has to tell us, the promises He gives us. I think of the promise found in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wow. Can you beat that? Well, I think of the great promises given to us in the book of Romans, and one of my favorite verses changed my life literally. Chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. The promises of God. The directions of God. God says to me, He says basically to me, hey, you want to be able to have all of your needs met? You want to see God bless and work in your life and have the windows of heaven opened unto you? Well, then give to me. Give to me. By the way, that's a lesson a lot of God's people need to learn. Quit being so selfish and learn the blessedness of tithing and the offerings unto the Lord. It's a marvelous place to be. I've heard people say, well, I can't afford to. I can't afford not to. You see, I find the book of Malachi, it talks about a devourer when we're not doing what He wants us to do. I don't want to devour at my door. And so I see direction that God gives. God shows me all the different ways and things that we ought to do in our life. Thank God for that. And as it comes into our heart and our mind, then our desires that our words, or even our meditation, the things that we're thinking about throughout the day, we want them acceptable to Him. In the quiet moments of your heart, when nobody else is around, what do you think about? What's upon your mind? What's upon your heart? By the way, to show forth what you've done with the Word of God, what you've done with His two books. Does He arouse praise in your heart? It ought to be a resounding yes. I look at this chapter and I get amazed at this book called the Bible. I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful that I have this book as an authority, as that which I can look to and know thus saith the Lord. And no qualms about that. I know when I follow His principles and His leadings, that what He says He will do, He will do. Blessedness it is. Praise God for that. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You tonight so much for this book. Lord, I thank you for that which we can see day after day as we walk out our doors and we look at the beauties of this world. Yea, even as we walk out in the mornings, as we have a couple times recently, and see the fog and remember that really, as you filled the temple of God, it was like a fog that they could not see through. It reminds us of your very presence and how you are always there. Lord, how we can just walk through our yard and look down a little insect called an ant. And remember your scripture says go to the ant. And be reminded of how they worked one with another. Didn't have an overseer. They just allowed you to show them the direction to go, and as a result, they worked together. Lord, how we can look at all these different marvelous things and put it together with the Word of God. Thank you for the blessed privilege. But, oh God, tonight I fear within the sound of my voice are those who haven't read it for days. Not allowed its beautiful pages to be opened in their sight and to read and allow you to speak to their heart. Oh God, may they understand the beauties of it. Lord, I fear within the sound of my voice are some young people who think this is just for adults and realize not that spirituality is as much for a kid as it is for an old person. Oh God, open our minds, our hearts, our eyes to the marvelous beauty of your picture book and your published book. And Lord, I pray tonight that as we go into invitation, that if we've neglected either, we might seek your forgiveness. And Lord, we might dedicate ourselves to reading both of them much, much more diligently. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.